Please turn in your Bibles to Job chapter 36. Job chapter 36. Elihu is speaking here, and he gives a lot of truth in his speech. Verse 5, "Behold, God is mighty." Well, that's a great statement of faith, to believe that God is mighty, that he is omnipotent, that he has all power, and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but with kings are they on the throne. Yea, he doth establish them forever, and they are exalted. And if they be bound in fetters and be holden in cords of affliction, then he showeth them their work and their transgressions that they have exceeded. Verse 10 is the verse I want to concentrate on and take much of the sermon from. He, God, the Almighty, he openeth their ear to discipline and commandeth that they return from iniquity. God opens the ear. God gives understanding. God gives you the ability to perceive instruction and gain wisdom and knowledge of his ways, his person. Verse 11, "If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures." I believe Elihu might have thought that had to do more with physical, secular prosperity. I believe it has to do with spiritual prosperity. When God opens your ear to discipline, to truth, and gives you instruction, you'll have soul prosperity and spiritual prosperity. It says, "But if they obey not, they shall perish with the sword, and they shall die without knowledge." You know, that's the way a lot of people are dying today. They die without any knowledge of the true and living God. They refuse his word and will not abide by it, will not believe it, will not embrace it. They reject it. And if you deny the truth of the gospel, if you don't obey the gospel, if you don't receive Christ, you will be judged. You'll perish in your sins for all eternity. The title of my message today is The Necessity of Spiritual Discipline. Now, I find it interesting that the only time the word discipline is used in our English version is found here in Job 36 and verse 10. When I looked up the Hebrew word that's translated discipline here, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but the Hebrew word is plutos, P-L-O-U-T-O-S. And the meaning really amazed me. And it confirmed what I've really believed my entire Christian life, The Hebrew word for discipline means to furnish wealth, abundance, a valuable bestowment of riches, to furnish or to fill. And I think it's so instructive that it says he openeth their ear to discipline, to show them. He opens their ear, gives them a hearing ear, an understanding, an ability to perceive his instruction and the way of spiritual wealth, spiritual prosperity, spiritual success. It comes from God. And it is furthered by our obedience to his truth. The next verse, if they obey and serve him. If God's opened your ear to hear, if he's given you his word to instruct you, and you've embraced it, you believe it so firmly, so strongly, that you feel as though it is incumbent upon you to obey and to serve the Lord, then you know what? Your life is going to be full. You're going to grow in grace. You're going to be strong. The more God opens our ears to listen to his commands and obey those truths, the greater our level of spiritual wealth and soul prosperity will be. Someone says, well, I don't know, that sounds like a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel to me. Well, turn over to 3 John. I don't believe the nonsense that the charismatics promote. Name it and claim it and all that garbage. The idea, you know, Creflo Dollar and some of those guys that say that all you got to do is believe and you'll have as many Cadillacs as you want, 3 or 4 vacation homes. God wants to give you all that. Well, that's not the way Paul the Apostle lived, and it's certainly not what Jesus said. But I do believe in soul prosperity. Look what it says in 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on thy journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. You know the alternative to spiritual riches, godliness, and a life that's pleasing to God is one of poverty, spiritually, waywardness, rebellion, lack of focus. And he talks about it in Proverbs 24, about going by the field of the slothful, the one who made no application of the importance of work, of discipline, and everything he had was all grown up with thorns, it became unfruitful. That'll happen to your spiritual life if you don't listen to God. Now, I want to give you some reasons why we fail to discipline ourselves and in the spiritual realm. Most of the time, it's because we don't see the ultimate value of godly discipline. We live in an age of instant gratification. We all live our lives, it seems, at hyperspeed mode, And if we don't get the results we want immediately, we move on to something else or give up entirely. I mean, people are not, they don't take the time in the secret place of the Most High God. They don't take the time to read the Bible. They don't take time to worship God. They don't take time to sing praise unto God, to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. And they wonder why their spiritual lives are so empty. You as an individual have a personal responsibility to put something in to this Christian life. And for a lot of people, I can remember when I was first saved, I devoured the Bible. I wanted to go to church. I read my Bible 10 pages a day. I started memorizing scripture, reading good books. They gave me C.D. Cole's Definitions of Doctrine. And man, I just devoured it. They gave me T.P. Simmons' Study of Systematic Bible Doctrines. I devoured it. I wanted to learn. I wanted to grow. And I did. And then 6 months later, when the Lord called me to preach, I thought, I've arrived. Now the Lord's just going to open up my brain and everything I need to know. He's just going to put it in there so I can start preaching. Oh, man, my first sermon, it was a nightmare. But I didn't know any. I didn't know it was a nightmare. Everybody came up afterwards, and I was hyperventilating when I announced my text. I felt like it. I mean, that's how I felt, and it kind of came across that way until I started going. You know, I got a rhythm, but afterwards, people came up and said, "What great message, brother!" And I thought, "Well, yeah, it was." I didn't know any better. I didn't have a whole lot of humility, I guess. And then the preacher, he came back from, he was in a revival meeting somewhere. That's why I was preaching. He said, "How'd you do?" I said, "Well, everybody loved it. Yeah, I'm ready. Might as well start pastoring." You know? He said, "Well, let's listen to it." He put that cassette tape in there. I started listening to me preach. And I started crying. I mean, he used that. He had good wisdom. He used that to humble me and make me realize. And that very day, I remember him saying to me, "See, developing, God calls men to preach, and it's like you're a lump of coal down in there." He said, "If you're called to preach, there's a diamond down in there. A lot of coal's got to be chipped off before that diamond starts shining. And it doesn't come all at once." And I had to learn that lesson. I'm still learning the lesson after 40 years of preaching. Nothing comes just... The only thing that came instantaneously in the Christian life is regeneration. Something God did. Then the process of sanctification comes, and it requires you and I to respond to God, to open up His Word. We often live, I'm afraid, in the spiritual realm without direction, without goals, without real purpose. We just kind of look at the spiritual life as just flying by the seat of our pants. You can't do that. I mean, you don't do that with your work, do you? I'm assuming it's CSX. When you go there your first day, they don't give you a wrench and say, "Go start fixing these cars." You know, these railroad cars. I mean, even me, the first day as a meat cutter, They didn't just randomly hand me a knife and say, cut something up, you know. It required discipline, learning, watching. And if you're like me, where you work, you want to be good at it. You want to be the best at what you do. I mean, I think all of us ought to have that desire in us. That what we do, we want to do well to the glory of God. And certainly it ought to be that way in our spiritual life. In spiritual disciplines. But discipline without direction is drudgery. I read an example of a 6-year-old boy named Kevin. Wasn't little Johnny. And Kevin was learning to play the guitar. And as he strummed clumsily on his guitar after school every day, he was bored. He was frustrated. The other boys are out playing baseball. And his mom has him strumming a guitar. He's not seeing a lot of progress. Well, the story said an angel transports him to Carnegie Hall, where he sees a classical guitarist gracefully playing. Kevin is captivated and amazed by what he sees and by what he hears. And the angel tells him that that's going to be Kevin after several years of practice. Now his attitude toward practice and discipline is entirely different. Now he has vision, direction, a fixed purpose. Back in June, I preached at Indoor Baptist Church, and Doug Newell's children, Doug Newell, the bearded Doug Newell, I can't keep track of all the numbers behind their names. They got 2, 3, 4, and 5, I think. But anyway, this is the younger Doug Newell. He's got a long beard. And he has four young men. 3 of them got up and played the violin. Another one played along with them on the cello. I mean, it was beautiful. It was amazing. And they got done, and somebody said, well, thank God for the talent that he's given them. And I got up when I said, yeah, I thank God for the talent he gave them, but I'm telling you something. You don't play an instrument like that without years of practice, of discipline, of learning your craft. See, when it comes to spiritual discipline, I'm afraid that we're unclear as to why we need to do what we do. But you've got to keep this in mind. If you want God's riches, which are given to us freely in Christ, but if you want spiritual growth, you've got to exercise yourself rather unto godliness. You've got to understand that this is God's process of conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. Look at the life of Jesus. You'll see a life with direction, purpose, discipline. In fact, he told the disciples, I always do those things that please him, the Father. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. He was living life on purpose. And folks, the Bible clearly gives us a command. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us as an example that ye should follow in his steps. Now, I got a question for you. How are you going to know how to follow Christ? if you don't read His Word? How are you going to know? Turn over to 1 John chapter 2. Follow in His steps. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. Well, verse 5. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith, He abideth in Him, ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. Now think about those two passages. Peter's perspective, who was in the inner three of disciples, and John the Beloved, both very similar. We're to follow Christ. We're to walk in His steps. We're to abide in Him. We're to obey His Word. Conformity to Christ and godliness are the ultimate outcome of spiritual discipline. Now, I want to say this at the outset. You can be disciplined in every way, but without the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, guiding you, teaching you, helping you, giving you understanding, you're not going to grow. It's the work of God's Spirit in you that puts these desires to put these spiritual disciplines into your life to grow in grace. So, what are some spiritual disciplines that God will open your ear to so that you can be enriched by His power, His presence? Well, spiritual disciplines are those personal and corporate disciplines simply that promote spiritual growth. They're the habits of devotion and experiential Christianity that have been practiced by God's people through the ages. Bible intake. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. With my whole heart have I sought Thee, O Lord, let me not wander from Thy commandments. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. Bible intake. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In His high priestly prayer, He prayed to the Father, sanctify them with Thy truth. Thy word is truth. When He was talking to the disciples about abiding in Him and bringing forth much fruit, He said, He said something, and it just left my brain. I know He said, without me ye can do nothing. Oh, it's right there on the tip of my brain. I don't think it's gray matter. I think it's green. I ain't getting it. Let's see. Why didn't I? John 15:3. Now ye are clean through what? Through the word I have spoken unto you. Correlates perfectly with the way that God sanctifies His church, Ephesians chapter 5, by the washing of the water of the Word of God. Paul told the young preacher Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Bible intake. That should be a discipline that you incorporate into your everyday life, taking in the Scripture. Prayer. The Bible is God speaking to you, not audibly. Prayer comes from your heart by the working of the Spirit, where you go to God and you talk to Him and you worship Him and you offer up supplication and confession. But it's something that you and I should be engaged in if we're going to grow. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. God gave the promise through the prophet Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. When I was a young Christian, these were things that my pastor continually emphasized. Bible reading, memorization, study of the Word of God, prayer, worship. Like this morning in Sunday school, worship should be a daily activity. You ought to regard what you do as an act of worship. You ought to do it heartily as unto the Lord. Learning, wanting to grow, wanting to be challenged by the Word of God, meditation, thinking deeply upon God and upon His Word, serving others. You can start in your family and branch out. Stewardship, it's a discipline. Tithe belongs unto the Lord. It's holy unto the Lord. Set it aside. Pay your tithes. These are spiritual disciplines. Fasting. So I can't fast for 24 or 36 hours. Do what you can. Especially when you're really burdened about something and you want to seek God in a powerful, special way. Determine not to eat anything, but to spend that time in prayer and meditation. These are all disciplines that will enable God. Well, God doesn't need to be enabled. It'll enable us to respond to God and to grow in grace. Evangelism. Being ready to witness, to always have an answer of the hope that lieth within you, to have your speech always seasoned with grace so that you can show others the way of truth as it is in Jesus. All of these things combine to help us to grow spiritually and to change us into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, I think there's probably a lot of things that help us along the way to grow and to change. I want to change. I don't want to be the way that I used to be. I don't want to think that way. I want to grow. I want to learn more. I'm 62. I've read my Bible many, many, many times, but I'm not satisfied. I got to dig. I got to scratch. I got to look into the Word of God because I'm not the smart. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. But I've learned something. If you keep plodding, plodding along, keep on. We were on a trail, me and Emma and Adelaide. We were climbing up the Chimney Rock. Do not seek the treasure, I tell you, because we started out with 10, all right, and it was down to us three. Now, can you imagine a papaw and two energetic granddaughters hiking up Chimney Rock? There, they'd be running up they'd run up steps, and I'd look at them. And, I mean, we must have, I can't tell you how many steps we climbed going up this mountain. And they were running up, and I finally had to say, "Hey, girls, remember the story of the tortoise and the hare? You know, steady and slow wins the race." And by the time we got, I just was steady, plodding along, and they both started getting tired when they were exerting themselves like that. But we made it. I look at the Christian life that way. Be steady, faithful, disciplined. Now, three things I think will change, conform us to Christ that God uses. He uses people. As iron sharpeneth iron. God uses people in our lives to help us to be more like Christ. Sometimes he brings some really rotten people in our lives. I'll leave it there. And I mean, you know, you all have had people like that, but the Lord puts them in your life so that you know how to respond and show them the mind of Christ. Another thing is circumstances. They're ordained of God. Now those two things, people and circumstances, those are just givens that you're going to interact with people the rest of your life. You better learn how to do it. And circumstances, God puts things in your life, you're going to learn to grow from it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are the called according to his purpose. Both of those things, people and circumstances, are pretty much out of our control. We don't have a lot of choice regarding people and circumstances that God brings into our lives. Now, but spiritual discipline, that's something that you have to engage in. You've got to read your Bible. You got to make a determination. I'm going to read the Word today. You say, well, I think you just ought to kind of go and let things hit you. Yeah, you know what? Things just don't hit you. I guarantee you, if you don't have some kind of plan, some kind of goal, you're not going to read the Bible as much as if you determine. Now, you know my phrase, my philosophy for years and years now has been BBB, Bible before breakfast. It keeps me on track. Now, I'm not saying that that's the perfect one for you, but you better have some time of the day where you're reading your Bible. We decide to pray, to read, to witness on any given day. Make no mistake. An iron will and discipline will not make us godly apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, but those spiritual disciplines are channels of God's transforming grace. When you engage in these disciplines, when God opens your ear to them, and you receive instruction, and he gives you the treasury of his grace and his wealth and his presence and his power, you'll learn what it is to delight yourself into the Lord. These things won't be a drudgery or a burden. They'll be a blessing. Now, I'm dating myself a little bit. Some of you probably remember Tom Landry. He was the coach of the Dallas Cowboys for years. He had a famous statement that he made. He said, "The job of a football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be." I mean, you think about you, somebody that plays professional football, they, you don't just go out there, you don't just one day after having a root beer float decide, you know, I think I'm going to be a football player. I'm just going to go ahead and try out for the Bengals. Well, you might make the Bengals. But you don't just show up at training camp and say, I'm here. I'm ready to play. Well, have you read the playbook? Oh, I didn't know there was a playbook. What kind of off-season training have you engaged in? Well, I had a root beer float about every night through the summer. So you haven't trained, you haven't read the playbook, you just show up and think you're going to be a professional football player? Yeah, pretty much it did. Hit the bricks, man. You'd get killed if they turned you loose out there. Because you're not prepared, you're not disciplined. You see, we have got to engage in these things. There's a necessity to it if we're going to experience God's best. Boy, I got more notes than I thought I did. I might finish this tonight. The necessity of spiritual disciplines. I hope I've piqued your interest, though. That you realize, somebody says, well, you don't need all that to be a Christian. God makes you a Christian in regeneration, in the new birth. What are you, Brother Ross? Are you a legalist? You're trying to add everything? No, none of these things add to your salvation or keep you saved. But again, I ask you, do you want to be the best you can be for the glory of God? Do you want to be dedicated, consecrated, set apart? Well, it's going to take some spiritual discipline to listen to God and apply truth on a daily basis. We'll finish up maybe this evening if the rapture doesn't happen.
Page 291.